You are listening to Survive and Thrive, Managing Life with Adult ADHD. Adults affected by ADHD will be helped to succeed, enjoying their life in the process. Hosted by Abigail Werf, coach, author, and speaker. Abigail's focus is helping adults with ADHD live their best lives professionally and personally.
Hi, this is Abigail Werf, and welcome to Survive and Thrive, Managing Life with Adult ADHD. On today's show, we are talking about sleep, and that can be the bane of my existence, our existence, it seems most people with ADHD. The majority of my clients struggle with sleep on some level, and I'm suspecting many of you do too. There is a cheat sheet for this episode. To get the cheat sheet, go to www.abigailwerf.com/cheat-sheet-016. That's www.abigailwerf.com/cheat-sheet-016. And if you can't figure out how to spell my name, all my show notes end with my name on it. Okay, to the top. This is being recorded at the end of October 2017 and will come out towards the end of November 2017. That's just to give you some perspective as to when this research was done. As recently as September 2017, I read an article in the Washington Post with the headline, "Growing Evidence Shows ADHD May Be a Sleep Disorder." It goes on to say that many kids diagnosed with ADHD may actually have a sleep disorder. This caused me to do a little research because I've always struggled with sleep. As a child, I just could not fall asleep at night, much less stay asleep. It was so bad that my parents just could not stay up late enough for me to get to sleep. So I would just sort of wander the house at night, waiting until I could fall asleep. And there's actually photos my parents have took of me, which were of me with like one hand and my head on the sofa and the rest of my body on the floor, because when I was able to fall asleep, it would be so quick that I often didn't get onto a flat surface. So they thought those photos were pretty funny. But anyway, so in my baby book, there are photos of me through elementary school being flung halfway on furniture asleep. But actually, they had me start to just stay in my room and not wander the house, because I did discover one time that we had water bugs, and that freaked me out. So I would just stay in my room and just do anything I could think to get myself to sleep or distract myself while I waited to be tired to fall asleep. And I've found that this is not uncommon. Many of my clients struggle with going to bed at a reasonable time, getting to sleep, and staying asleep. And then struggling with getting up in the morning. Many of them really struggle to get to work on time because they're just so tired and lethargic in the morning. So I've always sort of kept my eye on what's going on with sleep. And actually, I've tried, like I said, many different ways to achieve sleep, sometimes including medication. I actually found a medication that helped me sleep, only for them to discover about a year later that the medication increases the likelihood of dementia in the future. So I stopped taking that medication. Unfortunately, it was the only one that really worked for me. So I struggle with falling asleep and staying asleep. After I've finally fallen asleep, I wake up many times throughout the night, sometimes for long periods of time. I found an article from the National Resource Center on ADHD. And what the National Resource Center on ADHD is, it's a program by CHADD, which is C-H-A-D-D. And CHADD is Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder, and it's a not-for-profit organization. I think probably the largest ADHD organization. The article was written in 2015 prior to the newly published research mentioned in the Washington Post and elsewhere. But it is called ADHD Sleep and Sleep Disorders. It primarily focuses on children with ADHD, which so does most of the recent research I've mentioned, such as the Washington Post does, because it's much easier for people to do the research on children with ADHD because they have their parents can be reporting information. The NRC on ADHD from Chad says that 25% to 50% of parents of children affected by ADHD report that their children suffer from sleep problems, especially with falling asleep and staying asleep. This can affect the way kids think, function, and behave. It can even make them more hyper and increase their behavior problems during the daytime, which seems somewhat of a paradox, but it's true because the more tired you are, if you haven't gotten the proper amount of sleep, you've noticed this with kids even without ADHD, who if they didn't get their nap, they start to get cranky and act out because they just kind of don't know what to do with themselves. I have read multiple times that somewhere around 75% of children and adults affected by ADHD struggle with some sort of sleep problem or problems. There can also be coexisting conditions that affect sleep that are common for those affected by ADHD, and of the two most pronounced is depression and anxiety, because both depression and anxiety can affect your sleep patterns. So it can become a kind of double whammy, because you're more likely to have depression or anxiety if you have ADHD. There's also the issue that for some who take the stimulants to manage their ADHD, it can keep them up at night. Also, there is bedtime resistance, which is really, and I see it both in kids and adults, where they're just resistant to even try to go to bed and go to sleep because I think at a certain point, they're just so anxious about the whole experience because it isn't a pleasant experience. There can be the stimulant issue, and also there can be environmental conditions. Like, for example, it's really, you know, the bedroom may be not dark at night, or there's too much noise coming from other parts of the house or the apartment. Maybe the silence in and of itself is distracting. But we'll talk about later about what you can do about some of those things. So common sleep disorders among those affected by ADHD, aside from struggling to fall asleep, to stay asleep, to wake up in the morning, and the daytime sleepiness, there are also things such as restless leg syndrome, and that's when you just your legs just keep moving and moving and moving under the covers. And I used to have this problem, and it's incredibly annoying. There's sleep disorder breathing for things such as sleep apnea, which is when your breathing is interrupted, which can be kind of dangerous. And there also are circadian rhythm sleep disorders, such as delayed sleep phase disorder. And that's where, you know, our body goes in cycles, and the time where you should be sleepy just doesn't happen. So in order to get diagnosed about a sleep disorder, the first thing that will happen is they'll probably take your sleep history. And that's just a history of how you sleep, and if it's a kid, how their parents perceive their sleep. They also may ask you, the doctor that is to keep a sleep diary for a number of weeks. And that's something you can do even without the doctor asking. And that's where you just keep a running record of like when you went to bed, when you fell asleep, how often you wake up throughout the night, were you able to get up in the morning? And that can be really helpful. And I suggest if you're going to go to talk to someone about your sleep, you do that for a few weeks beforehand so you already have that information so you don't have to go talk to them, then go and do the sleep diary, and then come back. They also must rule out other conditions such as psychiatric or neurological conditions. If a sleep disorder is suspected, there may be a recommendation for further evaluation and maybe even visiting a sleep lab overnight. And what that is a lab that's set up where they put sensors on you and you go to sleep and they record you, and some even just take video recording of you while you're sleeping so that they can analyze what happens. There's a little bit of a problem with that because you're not in your natural sleep environment. So that, you know, that in and of itself can be disruptive, but it can be a good measure. So how do you manage sleep problems when affected by ADHD? First and foremost, practice good sleep habits. And what that means is regular bedtimes and wake times, even on the weekends. And this is something I think is so important, but that you really make a decision about when your bedtime is. And granted, every once in a while, there'll be something that disrupts it. But for the most part, that you really try to go to sleep the same time each night, and that you wake up at the same time each morning, even if it's on the weekends, because you're developing a habit. Also, avoid alcohol and stimulants, including caffeine and nicotine, before bedtime. because those are things people think that alcohol will help you go to sleep, but actually what it does is it causes some of the symptoms similar to depression, which gets in your way of sleeping. Avoid large meals before bedtime. Now, for some people with ADHD, they're often hungry a lot of the day, or they're not eating enough because their stimulants cause them to lose their appetite. And so they may need to have a little snack towards the evening, but try to make it as far away from bedtime as possible. Because if you eat a big meal, it just gets in the way with your sleeping. Like I said, set a realistic bedtime and stick to it. Be aware of the room environment. Is it dark at night? Do you pull your blinds or your shades down? What about noise? Is there distracting noise? Is the room cool enough? Because it's also been shown that it's hard to fall asleep in hot rooms. So you want your room cool, and a good way to solve the noise problem and the coolness is to run a fan, because a fan provides some white noise, which can help block out individual sounds, which can keep you up or sort of pique your curiosity and make you start thinking about what's going on outside the room. Avoid screen time prior to bed. Now, they've shown that the blue light on computers and television screens and the like stimulate something that I don't know the science behind it, but that can make it harder for you to fall asleep. Now, if you really must look at the screen before you go to bed, you can purchase, and I've seen them on Amazon, what they're called is blue light filters, and you want to search blue light filters for computer or TV. And those are filters you put in front of the screen, and it takes out the blue light. So it distorts the a little bit the picture because it takes out that blue light. But it's still, you can still use the computer or the tablet or the television, but you're just not sort of doing something that is going to exacerbate your sleeping issue. The way that I fall down in terms of screen time at bedtime is if I'm reading off of my iPad. So I really need to get a blue filter to cover that up if I'm using my iPad and not a book, because I don't think it would distort that at all. Another thing to do is to get plenty of exercise during the day, because it helps fatigue your body. And like I said, establish a routine. That is so important. I just can't emphasize that enough. After I had to stop taking the medication that helped me sleep, I was really concerned because I'd spent so many years of my life, ever since I was a little kid, just struggling with sleep at night. And it had been so nice just to be able to fall asleep and stay asleep. So I really set out to figure out how to create a good sleep routine for myself. And I'll also add in the other component is that I am a chronic pain patient, so pain wakes me up too. So I also have noticed that those people with pain problems, that's fatiguing in and of itself. So I think it's even more important than that you get enough sleep. So what I decided was I had to give myself more time to sleep. So what I do is I go to bed about the same time every night, and I have a ritual as to how I get ready for bed. So what I do is I lay out my pajamas or my nightgown, and I change my clothes. I do the getting ready, brushing my teeth, washing my face, all those things, taking my medication that I take at night for other things. And then what I do is I start doing quiet things on or around my bed. So that may be reading, and I try to make it a book, but every once in a while it is a tablet. But I try to, I close the door, I turn on the fan, so that there's quiet sound. I make sure my blinds are down. And then I do this about an hour before I want to start falling asleep. So once I start that of getting out those pajamas, I know I'm starting my sleep ritual. Another thing I do is I check my calendar so I know what's coming up the next morning in case I have to get up a little earlier than usual. I need to know that in advance. But I don't spend time on my calendar thinking about what I need to do the next day in a way that'll keep me up. So like I said, I get ready for bed, then I read, and then I found that I need to listen to something to fall asleep, because what happens is that I start thinking about things and I start worrying about things and I can't quiet my mind. So I used to listen to the radio and put it on a sleep setting so it would go off after 90 minutes. But the problem with that was that I'd get interested in what the radio is saying, and I would get caught up in it, and it didn't help me sleep. So then I discovered podcasts, and they have just been a boon to me because I found a particular podcast that really helps me go to sleep because it's not too interesting, but it's interesting enough to tag my mind, but not get it worked up on things. And the podcast is called Sleep With Me. That's it, Sleep With Me. And you can go to sleepwithme.com, or you can find it on iTunes. I assume you can find it on Stitcher too, but I'm not sure about that. And it's a little over an hour long podcast. And what the guy does is he basically tries to help you fall asleep. So the first part of the podcast is him sort of talking about his sponsors and a little bit of business. And then he does an intro, which is fairly similar each time. And the intro is, I want to help you fall asleep. I want you to relax. You know, I want to bore you to sleep, you know. And then he'll start on a couple of different things, depending the night. So some nights what he does is he tells a bedtime story, but an adult bedtime story. Then other times he will go do a play-by-play of a television show, you know, in a pretty boring way, but just that you start to listen to it and you fall asleep. I've virtually never heard the end of the podcast. I do know at the very end, he thanks people. It's a free podcast, but you can donate. And he thanks people who've donated. And he just thanks them all by name. So it takes a bit of time. Anyway, I think this is a great podcast to listen to go to sleep. It's published 3 times a week, but he has about 500 already published, so there are plenty to listen to it every night. You can listen to other podcasts, but just be careful. It's not a podcast that's on a subject that is super interesting or exciting to you because it will engage you too much. And sometimes I've had to listen to more than one podcast, but it's very rare. So, and it's also, as he says, it's a podcast that you have to try 2 or 3 times before you see if it really works for you, because it kind of grows on you, because he's kind of an odd duck. So that's how I fall asleep now. And I do wake up, and when I wake up, I try to make sure what I do is, if I can't fall back to sleep, I read, but I try to make sure I'm not using a screen to read so that it will not, you know, make it harder for me to fall asleep later. And the last thing I'll say about how I do it is I now give myself a huge chunk of time for sleeping. So I go to bed early. And a lot of my clients say, I can't do that. I'm a night owl. And there is some research that some people with ADHD, their circadian rhythm may be a little off, that their sort of sunset time is like an hour and a half later. But I found that if I just worked over a period of months of edging my sleep time earlier and earlier, I was able to train myself to start getting ready earlier and going to bed earlier. And, you know, because I would do the same things over and over again, it would start to signal to my body that we're getting ready to go to sleep, and now we're going to go to sleep. On the cheat sheet I've provided, there will be the links to some of the articles I mentioned during this podcast, so, and also just sort of review of, you know, how to set yourself up to go to sleep. And finally, really, do give yourself the time that you need to devote to sleeping, because it makes such a huge quality of difference in your life. I mean, like I mentioned before, being a chronic pain patient, you know, that's really fatiguing. And ever since I've made the effort of getting more sleep and made it a priority, it's actually improved my pain issues because I'm so much more energized that I can deal with it easier. So the cheat sheet is www.abigailwerf.com/cheatsheet016. That's abigailwerf.com/cheatsheet016. So next week, the topic for the podcast will be Victimhood is a Choice. And it's a bit of a tough podcast. But I really wanted to talk about how, you know, our attitude and thinking ourselves a victim can really affect not only our success, but how we feel about ourselves. So be sure to check out abigailwerf.com, not just for the cheat sheet, but also to check out other podcasts. I also have a page called Free Stuff, which has free downloads that you can download. And it also is about the services I offer. So that is www.abigailwerf.com. And keep on keeping on until next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Survive and Thrive, Managing Life with Adult ADHD. Come back next week for a new episode. For show notes and free stuff, go to abigailwerf.com.